Hashtag you don't have to be Jewish.
Dr. Tracy Ledge is a senior researcher at the Public Affairs Research Institute. She joins us this morning. Good morning. How are you doing? Tracy, good morning. Can you hear us?
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Now we can. A very good morning and thank you. Thank you for joining us. So you've just come out with a report. Can you give us a sense, of how we are doing?
So what the report looked at was the affordability of services. We didn't look specifically at the issue of the quality of services and reliability of services. I think we all know that there are serious problems in many places with that. But what we looked at specifically was the ability of households to afford the services, because the initial premise in the new model of local government post-1994 was that we needed to have universal access to services in order to increase standards of living and to create livelihood opportunities. Mm. So access is made up of a physical access point, but then also the ability of households to actually afford to pay for the services. And what we found is that for the poorest 50% of households, essentially basic services, electricity and water, are completely unaffordable, because they require poor households to spend up to a quarter of their total monthly income on buying those services.
And what impact does that actually have?
Well, we need to think about that in the context of household poverty and food insecurity in South Africa. So mm-hmm. that even though South Africa is a middle-income country, it has a relatively very high level of food insecurity, child malnutrition. More than one right. in four South African children are stunted from child malnutrition. A quarter of all South African households do not have enough total income to buy even a basic nutritious basket of food, and probably half of South African households are struggling to feed themselves. So when we set basic services at these high costs, essentially what we're saying to households is that they need to take food off the table in order to be able to buy electricity and water, which is fundamentally at odds with the developmental goals of our constitution. Mm.
So in other words, what we are providing from a municipal perspective, from a municipality perspective, and from a basic living conditions perspective, is at odds with improving people's lives. It places more stress on them in terms of the other aspects that they are struggling with. Is that really what the essence of the report says?
Yes, that is fundamentally what we're saying. And then we also said, you know, the main reason for this is that when the new structure of local government was put in place, based on the 1998 white paper, there was an assumption that municipalities could get most of their income from the sale of services like electricity and water, and that income would be enough to fund all their expenses, but that at the same time, those tariffs could be affordable for households. So there was this perceived win-win situation in terms of tariff setting. And what we've seen is that situation is completely not materialized. Because a municipality can't have an unfunded budget, in order to finance their cost base, they've got to keep pushing tariffs up and up and up beyond a level that households can afford. So we've got two impacts. First of all, we've got this huge amount of outstanding debt to municipalities that can't be paid. But we're also in a situation where the provision of basic services, instead of reducing poverty and inequality, is actually making households poorer, because it's forcing them to use money they don't have in order to purchase even small amounts of services.
What happens when, I mean, something you referred to was this outstanding debt. If people aren't able to buy food, they're certainly not going to be paying municipality for waste removal.
Absolutely not. And this is what makes me quite cross when people say, oh, the problem is that people are not willing to pay, or we've got a culture of non-payment. Mm. I mean, this is absolutely not We've got a situation where about 5 million households in this country literally have to choose between buying prepaid electricity or feeding their children. This is not a culture of non-payment or an unwillingness to pay. This is a local government system that has put millions and millions of households in this dreadful situation where they can only access electricity and water if they sacrifice food expenditure.
Which is just a horror beyond words. So what can be done about this? What needs to be done?
I think that there are a couple of things. The first thing is that the free basic services policies that have been put in place, which are intended to give some relief to poor households, have not been implemented the way that they are supposed to be implemented. These policies are supposed to support about 10 million households with admittedly very small amounts of basic services, not everything they need, but certainly it's a benefit to poor households. These policies are intended to benefit some 10 million households. At the moment, they only benefit about 2 million households, with serious problems in the way in which municipalities have implemented the system. So that is one quick fix that we could put in the system straight away. Over the longer term, we need to overhaul the system. We need to fundamentally question this assumption that municipalities can actually raise almost all of their money from predominantly poor households. We need to have a situation where we would say that half of all South African households shouldn't be paying any money at all for services in order for those services to be genuinely pro-poor. And then we could have a lot of other positive benefits. Households would have more disposable income to spend on food, for example. But in order to do that, we need to rethink the whole sort of local government financial model and how it raises money and how we set tariffs and move away from this cost recovery situation to one that is a little bit more pro-poor and pro-development.
Isn't that more of a problem? Doesn't that push us further into a situation where you've got a forever shrinking at this stage tax base? Because effectively that's what you're saying is that households that are unable to afford it or are living below a certain level shouldn't be paying for these services. And whereas I'm not necessarily disagreeing with that, the problem is that you have a shrinking middle class as well, and won't that push more people into a more needy situation where they too then will not be able to pay for those services?
Not necessarily. In fact, that kind of system could be beneficial for everyone. So, you know, the point is at the moment we're kind of insisting that households pay for services, but we know that they can't. So the entire system is going to collapse anyway.
In any event, yeah.
If we have a situation where poor households can access basic services either for no cost or at a very reasonable cost, what we do then is we reduce poverty by making much more household disposable income available for food. The government is already spending tens of billions of rands every year in poverty relief measures. So what is the point of these poverty relief measures if national government is paying households just so that households can pay their municipal accounts? That's just an accounting transaction. That's not having a genuine impact on poverty reduction. The other thing is that households' ability to access, especially electricity, is absolutely critical to their ability to create small businesses, to create job opportunities, to create livelihood opportunities. So in fact, subsidized services might be a much more effective way of generating the kind of economic development and job creation that we need down the line. And yes, what we need to do is we need to find a way to make the local government system more cost effective so that we can reduce the costs in the system. But over the long term, if we can reduce the cost base of local government, make basic services genuinely affordable for poor households, we can actually have in the long term a very, very beneficial impact on job creation, on development, and in fact then the creation of more taxpayers. So, you know, the way we've looked at it is not to say that we should see this as some kind of charity, if you will, but in fact an initiative that could actually be incredibly effective at reducing poverty, reducing inequality, and creating millions of new economic opportunities for households.
And of course,
there's basically no small business that you can run that doesn't require access to electricity.
And of course, we need to deal with corruption at a municipal level.
Yes, everything that increases the cost base of local government, whether that is corruption, whether it's the excessive compliance burden that's placed on municipalities by national and provincial, whether it's the unfunded mandates, whether there's an argument to be made, perhaps we have too many municipalities, we're not getting economies of scale, we have very fragmented ways of delivering services in the water sector, for example. There's very little control over the cost base of water boards, for example. That just simply gets passed through into the system and must get passed on to municipalities and then on to clients. We've seen the problems with Eskom's cost base. We have hundreds of municipalities and Eskom all doing electricity distribution to households. There's are many, many ways in which we can make the system more efficient and reduce costs and have an overall national benefit in the way in which those services are delivered and what they cost for households.